action. Turning people of faith into people of action to win the cultural war for life, liberty, and the family. Now, here is the founder and president of Faith to Action, Janet Folger.
Good afternoon. Live behind the microphone. Yeah, the Iowa trip got a little delayed. Good thing, too, because it's snowing there pretty heavily, as it turns out, and those rallies might not have been able to go forward anyway. So going to reschedule that till just after Christmas. Keep all that in your prayers, if you would. I am live behind the microphone as we look at some very good news. Now, I'm not talking about the polls, although I think we can see some good news there, but let's take a look at what's gone on in the Capitol, in the United States Capitol. Probably the best news coming from the last couple of weeks, happened at the end of last week. Incredible good news, because the most dangerous bill in America was killed. We have two people joining us who had a little something to do with that. Matt Barber of Concerned Women for America, thanks so much for coming by, Matt.
Hey, good to be here.
And Ted Pike, also on the front lines, keeping his eye on this very dangerous bill from the National Prayer Network. So glad that you were able to join us as well, Ted.
Yes, thanks for having me, Janet.
Wow. I guess, Ted, you've been on the front lines of this. Let's let you start about just what happened at the end of last week. Fill us in, will you?
Well, for about the last 3 weeks, our organization, the National Prayer Network, has been very aware of a rebellion in the House of Representatives against the Big Arms Bill, which has the hate bill attached to it. As many of our listeners may be aware, the hate bill was passed by the House of Representatives in May. It was also passed by the Senate in September, but it was as an amendment on the Big Arms Appropriations Bill that it was in conference several weeks ago between the House and the Senate. Anyway, there was a rebellion going on. We got a credible report about 3 weeks ago that no less than 180 Republicans and 20 Democrats were vowing not to vote for the Big Arms Bill, and they had very different reasons. The Democrats didn't want to vote for it because they didn't have any provision in that arms bill for an exit from Iraq, a demand that if the House gave the President his money for the war, that the troops would also be leaving Iraq. And then the Republicans, however, were very dissatisfied with the hate bill because it was attached to the arms bill. It was a situation, an all-or-nothing arrangement where the President had to sign both of them or nothing at all. And so we got news of this the rebellion, and we saw e-alerts everywhere trying to get new right leaders to join with us in actually widening this rebellion.
Praise God. Matt, you were also sending out some alerts of your own. Fill us in.
Yeah, well, we were so happy to hear that, first of all, I mean, what a cynical move by Ted Kennedy and liberals in the Senate to attach this totally unrelated bill, this hate crimes legislation, to the Department of Defense bill, essentially holding our troops hostage to try to radically experiment here with our military and force President Bush's hand. So it's really backfired on him, and it's a wonderful thing. We do need to keep in mind, however, that the Senate could still come back and try to run this through again as a standalone bill, separate from, not as an amendment, but as a standalone bill. So
I know it's coming, Matt. Let me just interject. I just need to breathe a sigh of relief because when you got it passed through the House and the Senate on its way, held hostage so that the President's hand would be forced to sign this thing just to give the troops the support they need, I got to tell you something. Even though he said he'd veto it, they have the position of strength to try to ram this through, and I am so grateful to God that this did not happen. We always talk about what's coming up next and be ready. I just want to take a moment and savor this incredible victory for freedom.
Well, amen to that. And I'm always, my mind's moving two or three steps ahead. You're right. We do need to breathe a big sigh of relief here. This is a huge victory. I can't overemphasize what a big victory this is for the First Amendment and for freedom of religious expression and essentially to keep Christians and other people of faith from being oppressed through this hate crimes legislation, which is really just a tool to try to make, as you, to cite the title of your book, to criminalize Christianity.
Well, I got to tell you, I think a lot of people, and I among them, not only were making those phone calls, as Ted, we had you on last week, but a lot of people were praying, as you have your National Prayer Network, because this is not something. I'll just say strategically, tell me if you agree with me or not, Matt, but I got to tell you, strategically, if I were to write how this should have gone, strategically, I do not believe this is the way it should have gone, given the fact that you have people in charge and in control of the Senate and the House who want this bill. People who have passed in the House and the Senate this amendment to the defense bill. The fact that it has been long awaiting to the president's signature or veto, the fact that they've waited so long only would have forced his hand all the more so. The fact that this thing died, it just seems to me miraculous. Am I overstating
this?
Yes,
it certainly is a miracle of God. And I put out a recent email, and I just tell people to do exactly what you're saying. We have to pause at this Christmas time and realize that God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ, whom we are venerating at Christmas time, He came down and He generously mixed religion and politics. He let the American people know that He does not want this hate crimes bill. He does not want America going the way of Canada, ending free speech. And he has a vested interest in preserving our First Amendment liberties, because without our First Amendment liberties, we cannot freely preach the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
You know what? Instead of making a phone call to a congressman or calling the White House, could we just take a minute and dial up God and
yes.
Let Him know how we feel about His intervention, His divine intervention that saved our freedom to speak the truth and proclaim the gospel.
Yes.
Would you lead us, Ted?
Yes. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so profoundly this morning for this massive deliverance. It shows that we are still highly esteemed as a nation which was founded, dedicated to You and to the propagation of Your gospel. If America goes under, You know, our Heavenly Father, that there will be no basis and no foundation for international evangelism and for proclamation of the truth in the encroaching darkness of this world. And as hate crimes bureaucracies proliferate through Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and so on, You need this bastion of truth in the United States, and we need You to watch over and guard us. And You have magnificently done that as a tremendous gesture, despite our tremendous sins and our great failings and our murderous denial of the rights of the unborn, and on and on and on. We have greatly sinned, and we pray, O Father, that out of this victory, people will be encouraged. Out of pessimism, out of fatalism, out of all of these negative feelings, we may again realize that there is hope for America as we trust in You. And empower us, we pray today, our Heavenly Father, to more than ever gird up our loins to focus on these issues, especially as they're coming through the legislative pipeline in Congress, that we may stand like Ezekiel as watchmen on the wall, and we may be faithful in our generation to sound the alarm, sound the trumpet, and deliver our souls by doing so. But again, we pray that You will look down, and perhaps, Heavenly Father, You may use this as tinder, as a spark for national revival in this country, because without a spiritual awakening and a spiritual transformation, no matter how politically active we are, it is all in vain. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Janet, let me share. First of all, let me thank your listeners, because I know how engaged they were in this victory and in calling Congress and calling the Senate and opposing this hate crimes legislation. So kudos to everybody listening right now. First of all, and just to share with you, to give you an idea of what a victory this is, Joe Solomonese, who is the president of the Human Rights Campaign, which is the most powerful and well-funded organization in the homosexual lobby, the day that this was pulled from the DOD bill, the day that hate crimes legislation was essentially killed, Joe Solomonese sent out a statement. Let me share with you what he said to give you an idea of how our opposition is viewing this. He says, "Today's decision is deeply disappointing, especially given the historic passage of hate crimes legislation through both houses of Congress this year. After more than 10 years and several successful bipartisan votes, it is heartbreaking shocking to fall short this close to the finish line. That's Joe Solomonese, and I don't read that with the intention of gloating, but it helps to illustrate what a tremendous victory this is for truth and for the First Amendment and for freedom of religious expression, and what a tremendous loss it is for the misleading and deceptive maneuvers and agenda that the homosexual lobby has.
Yes, you know, Matt, Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League came out with a similar report just several days ago, and ADL is basically architect of this kind of hate crimes legislation, not only on the federal level, but on the state level. And he said he was crying crocodile tears, saying that now the hate bill is condemned to, quote-unquote, languish for another year in Congress. That is, until the new Congress reconvenes, when ADL will reintroduce it. But I want our listeners to be very wary of this kind of language, because I think he's a very deceitful man. He's deceiving us to think that we have another year of grace. We can relax, we can sit back and enjoy our Christmas holiday and then forget all about this. The truth of the matter is that a number of months ago I talked to Senator Smith's office, the hate bill, of course, is co-sponsored by Kennedy and Smith in the Senate, and they were saying that if it was rejected as an amendment, they fully intended to move it forward as a standalone bill. And, of course, Kennedy, as the author of that in the Senate, can rise up literally any minute he wants to and call for a roll call vote in the Senate. And so this is very alive, the possibility that they might try again. And the Associated Press reported several days ago that House Speaker Pelosi is also saying that she fully intends to deliver this hate bill to the president during the next year of the House. So we can't sit back and rest on our laurels. God has given us a wonderful reprieve here. But again, we've got to continue, especially to go after these senators who did not perform on September 27th. I was watching C-SPAN. I have a congressional record of their performance in the critical 2 days before the Senate passed the hate bill. Do you realize, except for Orrin Hatch, for two full days, there was not a single Republican senator who stood up and went out there and fought for freedom against the hate bill? Kennedy, Smith, a host of other liberals stood up there. They took the opportunity, which was available to all, to militate in favor of passage of the hate bill. But except for Orrin Hatch at the end of those 2 days, the Republicans were silent. Now, on the actual day of hate bill passage, which was Thursday morning, there were four Republicans who stood up for limited periods, maybe 2 to 4 minutes, when I didn't feel that their arguments were very compelling. Hatch did a wonderful job. But these senators, these Republican senators whom we have counted on to go up there and play the man and go to bat for freedom against the hate bill, they behaved abominably, in my opinion, in September. They I don't know what was cowardice or desire even to let the hate bill pass so the president could have the glory and honor of vetoing it. But they need to hear from us. These Republican senators need to hear from us because what I'm saying here is Kennedy could stand up very quickly. They've got to be ready with the ammunition and the rhetoric to go after Kennedy and make sure he doesn't pull this off sometime soon.
Something we can help them do. Ted Pike and Matt Barber of Concerned Women for America join us talking about victory. You need some good news today. Keep listening. Here's the number to get involved, 800-347-98. What do you say we give that phone number out again? For those who didn't fill in the blanks, let me give you all those numbers, 800-347-9829. Yeah, ran out of time. So here it is again, 1-800-347-9829. If you'd like to get in on this discussion, not only the incredible victory, I know that I am breathing easier, I am sleeping better, knowing that hate crimes is not looming over our heads, looming over freedom like a guillotine, thanks be to God, this was not supposed to happen, and it did. You don't have a bill that passes both the House and the Senate, who they had the perfect position to pressure the president to not veto. It is astounding what took place, and I am just grateful to God. Take a moment and give him thanks as we talk with Reverend Ted Pike from the National Prayer Network and also Matt Barber from Concerned Women for America. We're just grateful for your efforts, gentlemen, in helping to sound the alarms. As you say, we need to continue to do it, to equip them so that we might actually have some of our friends in the Senate give some floor speeches that can help sway some votes. We need to continue to lobby as we watch this. By the way, of course, the switchboard number for you to talk to your own senators. You can scope and see how they voted. By the way, you've got that posted. Both you guys have it posted on your website. Want to make sure we've got the votes so we know who voted, who came down what way.
Yes, I believe we've got it up there on CWFA.org, and I'm not sure, Ted.
And no, I don't actually have the final roll call.
All right, well, you know what we'll try to do?
I know we sent out an alert to that effect. But.
All right, what we'll do is also, if we don't go directly through the link at F2A.org over to our partnering group, Concerned Women for America, we can also see about getting that posted on our own homepage at F2A.org. Looking to see just what happened. By the way, the number again to call your senators, we'll have that listed for you at the CWA site or at the homepage. Ross, are you listening? We'll see if we can get it by the end of the program here. He's very good about that if it's not already there. F2A.org, the number for your senators, of course, 202-224-3121. Find out how they voted, thank them, or maybe you can give them some encouragement not to make the same mistake again, because, as sure as the sun is coming up tomorrow, these people are going to try this again. Matt, you've made some of the analogies, as you and I have talked off air about some of the shootings that are going on. Ingrid, I'm very grateful that Ingrid Schlieder was able to sit in for me yesterday, as I had planned that trip to Iowa, but there's a lot of shootings going on lately, and a lot of people could say, well, that could itself be a hate crime, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's not a hate crime, I don't know what it is. For instance, this horrible tragedy in Colorado, in both Colorado Springs and Denver, the two, the missionary and the church, where this thug came in and killed four people, two teenage girls included, very well could be considered a hate crime. But we're consistent. We're saying if that the man who came in and killed these people had not been killed himself, and thanks to that heroic female security guard there in Colorado Springs, her name escapes me, that saved who knows how many lives. But had he been captured, he could very well have been charged with a hate crime. But we're saying no, it's not necessary. Colorado has laws on the books against first-degree murder. This person would have been charged and would have faced justice for first-degree murder. And there's no evidence to suggest that homosexuals are not receiving equal protection under the law apart from hate crimes legislation. The 14th Amendment guarantees equal protection under the law, and the site that they cite most often, disingenuously, no less, the Matthew Shepard case, which is the hate crimes legislation in the Senate, is called the Matthew Shepard Act. Those two thugs that murdered Matthew Shepard, whether it was a hate crime or whether it was for drug money, as there are conflicting reports, they are serving life sentences apart from any hate crimes legislation. So this just goes to show you it's all a ploy. They already have equal protection under the law. It's unnecessary, and it's very dangerous. Their true intent is to silence Christians, period.
I'd be a little stronger handed in that, Matt, that I don't think it's a conflicting reports kind of issue. You ask the killer themselves. I wrote about this in The Criminalization of Christianity. The ones who did the shooting, the ones that committed the so-called hate crime against Matthew Shepard, said, hey, we just wanted money for drugs.
Exactly.
So if you look to the source, the ones who actually did it, this whole thing is trumped up, had nothing to do with their sexual behavior. Some folks on the line want to talk with you. If you'd like to join them, you can dial 800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go first to Milwaukee. We've got Rob on the phone. Hey there.
Hi, Janet. God bless you.
Thank you.
I just want to say praise God for the killing of this bill. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to you, and thank God that in the fall you really had the courage to obey and do what you did, and you had the voters' clarification debate.
Thank you. You know, praise God. The values voter debate.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to misquote that, but you know what? I just saw Mr. Huckabee's name about a dozen times in the news over the weekend.
Yeah, CNN's got him right now dead even with Rudy Giuliani. And you go to RealClearPolitics.com. I check that thing out every day. They've got a bar graph that is absolutely astounding. There's a black line, and you follow it. He has now surpassed every other so-called Tier 1 candidate is closing in on Rudy Giuliani nationally. In fact, Rasmussen says in many of the different polls that he is actually leading nationally. Crazy, crazy, according to all the strategists. They're blown away. They can't believe it. And I just point back to that debate where we saw a 5-1 margin of victory among the largest voting bloc. Those values voters made it very clear. And so I've been pointing that out for some time now. Now they look to me like I'm some sort of political genius. All I'm looking is we prayed. We prayed hard that God would show us who it is that he was behind, and a whole lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, as you recall, 40 days that went into it, and I'm not surprised by the results.
I'll tell you what, Chandra, thank you for being obedient.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
800-347-9829. You know, one of the other things, Matt, you were pointing out off the air about some of the comments that Governor Huckabee has come under fire. fill us in, will you?
Well, yeah, and obviously CWA is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so I'm speaking as an individual right now. But kudos to Mike Huckabee for the statements that he's made in the past in defending God's model for human sexuality. He has, and I'm going to read a quote of his, and he is under tremendous fire right now by the left, not to mention his opponents in the primary, the Republicans. He said, talking about homosexuality, I believe to try to legitimize that which is inherently illegitimate would be a disgraceful act of government. I feel homosexuality is an aberrant, unnatural, and sinful lifestyle, and we now know it can pose a dangerous public health risk. That is true, every single word of it, and he is not backing away from it. And so many people are so intimidated, as Reverend Pike was pointing out, senators who wouldn't even speak out against the hate crimes legislation. The homosexual lobby is tremendously powerful. They can intimidate so many people into silence who happen to agree with God about sexuality. And Mike Huckabee won't be silenced, and he will not back away from his statement, and he is to be commended heartily for that.
Good for him, by the way. I have what he told CBS in today's WorldNet Daily in my article this week. It's there today. You can just go to WND.com and read it. But here's the quote he told CBS. This is from Governor Huckabee. It's quite contrasting to some of the other candidates we've seen. But here's what he said. Hey, do you really mean that? Do you really still think that this is sinful? He said, the one thing I feel is important to note is that you stick by what you said. I'm not going to go around changing my opinion on everything. If I were making some of those same comments about AIDS today, I might make them a little differently, but obviously I have to stand by what I said. He also had made that comment about AIDS. It came under a lot of fire about back in the early 90s when we weren't sure how it was transmitted. People were contracting it from dentists, a lot of unknowns. And he suggested that, hey, maybe until we figure out just how this thing is transmitted, we might want to look into isolation, just like we would with any other disease. A lot of people giving him grief, but he stands by his principles, he stands by his beliefs, and yeah, you do need to credit him for it.
Yeah, and again, speaking as an individual, not for CWA, let me say that kind of resolve, people are just thirsting for that. And the last time we really saw that kind of resolve was in Ronald Reagan. These politicians put their finger to the wind. They check the polls and see, what am I supposed to believe today? What am I supposed to say today? For fear of having being principled. And when they put principles first and are steadfast in holding on to those principles, people really respect that. No wonder his numbers are going up.
800-347-9829. As we look at the polls, what's going on in politics, the number again, 800-347-9829. Ted, you've got your finger on the pulse of some other things that are pretty scary. We want to hear about maybe some homegrown terrorists, another threat to our freedoms. Finding out about that in just a minute. Matt, I know you've got to jump at the bottom of the hour. Is there anything else? You've written about the Golden Compass. We've had you on the program last week about this horrendous atheist movie whose goal of the writer was to kill God. It's kind of interesting when you don't believe believe
well,
in God.
It's
why
just
you
great
kill
that
him?
We've gotten the word out. You've done a wonderful job in getting the word out. And, hey, the thing bombed in the box office.
The numbers were horrendous, and that couldn't happen to a nicer movie. But, you know, does that mean that that maybe the other two parts of the trilogy won't be made?
Well, it remains to be seen, but I know that was a prerequisite was that this thing do well. So, it remains to be seen, but hopefully this will nip this thing in the bud.
Glad that you were on to warn people to sound the alarms. Let's see if we can get a quick call in from Racine. We've got Lat on the line. Hey there.
Yeah, hey, Janet.
Hey.
I want a question, I got to ask a question. I'm behind Huckabee because there's Christian moral values. How do we get a hold of Huckabee's camp to get some signs? I want to get some signs out of my lawn about Huckabee's.
You know, any particular campaign you want to talk to, you can certainly just do a Google search or call information. That's the best way to find out any campaign you want to get involved in, and that's probably the best I can do at this juncture. Let's go next to Illinois. We've got Max on the line. Hey, Max.
Experience I've had with homosexual. I was molested when I was 12 years old by homosexual.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then when I was 23 years old, down on Route 57 at a public rest station, I was propositioned by one. And I got so mad, I guess the guy disappeared. But I wouldn't dare punch a homosexual today. I'd be afraid of getting AIDS.
Yeah, we're not suggesting anybody punch anybody, but certainly we should not see people thrown in jail for the content of their speech, and that's really what's at the heart of this. Matt, I'll let you respond.
Well, yeah, nobody's advocating. That's the whole thing. The hate crimes is really just a sleight of hand. Nobody's advocating violence against homosexuals. The FBI statistics show that there is not systematic abuse and violence against homosexuals, and that hate crimes legislation is entirely unnecessary.
Good to know. Let's see if we can get one more in. Bob in Elkhorn, welcome.
Hey, Mr. Janet.
Hey there.
I want to deal with I'm definitely.
We're cutting out, Bob. Can you get in a better location? Go ahead. Looks like we lost you. We've got limited cell zones, it seems, in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. But we're so grateful, Matt Barber, that you've been able to stop by, give us the scoop. And, Ted, I'm glad that you're able to stick around because there's another bill on the horizon you haven't heard much about. You're going to want to hear what's coming. Again, thanks, Matt. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Janet.
All righty, we'll talk to you soon. Golden Compass, by the way, costs $180 million to make, million spent on marketing, and it bombed. Interesting. We'll come right back with more. Homegrown terrorists? Certainly nobody's for that, but a bill might just be targeting, well, people like us. If they think that being pro-life and being pro-family might be a hateful position, certainly not much of a stretch, as we've seen even Google screen out pro-family groups. We've seen others attack these pro-marriage groups as being hateful. This is scary stuff when we're now looking at a bill in Congress that would set up a commission. Ted Pike, you're among the first people who are drawing attention to this. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, this should go through without any problem whatsoever. You're maybe making a problem, or at least raising up some of the concerns about it. Fill us in.
Yes, very suddenly, about 3 weeks ago, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorist Act was passed by the House of Representatives unanimously with only 6 dissenting votes. And basically what this legislation does is it will set up a federal commission which will sit for a year and a half probing the national problem, it says, of homegrown terrorism in the United States, which is being stimulated from words on the internet, streaming video, streaming audio coming off of the internet, which incites unstable persons, extremist organizations, and individuals to what they call violent radicalization, which is actually committing acts of intimidation or violence against federally protected groups. This is basically more hate crimes legislation. It's not going to result in the actual creation of a law, but it will create a federal commission which will make recommendations for possible legal restrictions on streaming internet. Now, there have been hearings held for the last several weeks under Senator Lieberman's control and that in the Homeland Security Committee of the Senate, probing this problem, getting witnesses, pondering it, and getting it ready for a vote in the Senate, perhaps within the next several weeks. And what we don't want to do, of course, is to threaten the Internet and to create some kind of a false problem that really doesn't exist, in which free talk radio, Internet freedoms are put under scrutiny because they are called cyber hate, or they have what you might call verbal violence language, which some groups might consider a threat and actually instigating violence among unstable persons.
Well, this is the very problem with the hate crime legislation as it is. It's essentially saying if you believe that that this behavior is a sin, or you believe that Mormonism or that Muslim beliefs are not the real true beliefs, that these are the, if you don't go through the door of Jesus Christ, you can't get to heaven. These are all viewed to be intolerant by many. We've seen them crack down on it abroad. It certainly has happened to the North. We've even seen glimpses of it here. In fact, I remember the Clinton administration, when Janet Reno was the Attorney General in the Department of Justice, there was a website that it literally sent chills down my spine when I saw that she actually was trying to train young children to look for hate in the family. If Uncle Joe were to make a comment following a program on television, here's a number you could call to report hateful speech. It's sort of like they were training up these Hitler youth, you know, to report somebody who might have politically incorrect views. This is where this whole thing's going. This is where we've got to make the strong stand that we need the freedom of speech, not to make threats, not to intimidate, but to simply speak the truth and to speak what God's Word has to say. Very, very unpopular among a lot of circles. And what may be under one administration used by this kind of commission for this homegrown terrorist, under another administration could be used to target even pro-family groups, calling marriage campaigns hateful just because they exclude those who are of the same sex. I mean, this is the very kinds of things we have seen already happen at the state level. That's why I think you bring up a very good point. I want to go to the phone. Some folks went in on this discussion. The number 800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to Michigan. We've got Jerry on the line. Hey, Jerry.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm going to ask a quick question. I'll hang up and listen for your answer, and I do appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Are there any states right now that make it legal for two men or two women to be married? And let me clarify that. Do they get the same benefits, and are they on the same plane as if a man and a woman were married? I appreciate you taking my call. I'll hang up and listen for your answer.
Sure. Ted, do you want to take a stab at it?
Mitt Romney made that law when he was governor of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, this is kind of the skeleton in Mitt Romney's closet, is that legislature of Massachusetts, as I understand it, and the Supreme Court and he, to the best of my knowledge, the fact is that he was the first governor in the United States to legitimize same-sex marriage. And so I know certainly that is true in Massachusetts. I'm not an expert on that particular issue, but we are seeing those kinds of laws everywhere proliferating.
Let me just interject that I think you're spot on from the people that we've had on that were there on the ground in Massachusetts, that Governor Romney at the time, as pro-marriage as he may have claimed to be now in his flip of how, again, I've lost count of how many issues he's flipped on, but when he did that, he actually overstepped what he had to do. He had the Superior Court say, look, we need you, legislature, to act and redefine marriage to include same-sex couples. And when the legislature didn't act, Governor Romney stepped in. And then he said, guess what? We're going to make it by an executive decision the law of the land. In fact, told those civil service workers that unless you preside over same-sex unions, unless you are part of redefining marriage, we're going to fire you. You're gone. In fact, there were many in Catholic groups specifically asked the governor, please, please, we can't do this according to our religious beliefs. Please at least give us a religious exemption. And he said no. A lot of people said, well, the governor thought he couldn't do anything. The court made him. You know what? There was another guy, not really known for being a friend of the family. His name was Michael Dukakis, also a former governor of Massachusetts. And he said, absolutely, that Governor Romney could have at the very least given a religious exemption, and he did not.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at is, yeah, Massachusetts is the place where it's happened. We also saw it legislatively in California, where Governor Schwarzenegger thankfully vetoed that bill while he signed many other very horrendous and dangerous bills that would basically make all the school textbooks a propaganda piece for the homosexual agenda, removing such controversial words as mom and dad. So it's also looking at it in New York, New Jersey, Iowa. As I was planning to speak there, that the judge overturned the Defense of Marriage Act there. And so they've got a limited time to try to reinstate that marriage protection there in Iowa. Hopefully we'll be able to help them do that when I go up there at the end of the month, right after Christmas is the plan. And so keep all of this in your prayers. We've got to be vigilant. It's not a lot of fun. I understand that. But if we do what we're supposed to do, this assault against our beliefs, we can no longer, I believe, we're going to go from a place of defense to a place of offense where we can start taking the field, taking the land, and start to returning righteousness to our nation. That's where I'm at, and that's where I want to be. I know you do too, Ted. Let's go to the phone. Some folks may want to join us in this discussion. The number 800-347-9829. Lines are open except for Tim, who's on the line in Boca Raton, Florida. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Janet. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm one of your biggest fans. I'm a local fan.
Praise God.
I'm also a friend of yours. So I just wanted to, since you're on the subject of Mitt Romney, I just wanted to get your opinion on, his speech last week. I mean, my take is that, you know, he's claiming to be a Christian, but he doesn't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. So he's obviously a liar. And number two, if I was a Mormon, faithful follower, wouldn't I feel like I had been sold out to him because he didn't really talk about Mormonism?
Well, I think I know who you are, Tim. This is what I wrote about today in Walnut Daily, essentially this. The one thing, Gary Glenn of AFA of Michigan, one of our partners up in the Michigan area, said the most indicting thing of that entire speech was this, quote, Americans do not respect believers of convenience. If I was a speechwriter, I would not be advising someone who has conveniently flipped on every major social issue just before running for president to say a line like that. But regarding his beliefs, and this is the way I put it in my article, that essentially, you know, what the Mormons believe, that they believe that they're going to be gods and have their own planets. And it is an attractive prospect. The idea of becoming God is an attractive one, but the position's been filled. So that's ultimately where it's at. In fact, what I wrote about the humility. And by contrast, Mike Huckabee was in an interview, and they asked him point blank about what's the significance about praying on your knees. Why do you do that? What he says, well, it shows humility. And it's interesting to realize that not only is that something important in a candidate, it's something that's important to God, who really isn't likely to scooch over on his throne and share the throne anytime soon. I just think that it's a significant thing, and you're right, he did not talk about those issues. Some are saying, hey, the problem with Mitt Romney is he wasn't Mormon enough. At least Mormons believe in the right to life, and they believe in marriage and you know, standing up for family values, but he seems to have flipped those positions conveniently just before running, and now he is more in line with those pro-family beliefs, but his beliefs regarding God, I think, are quite serious when you look at, for example, the Apostles' Creed. You know, if you deny the virgin birth and say, no, it was actually God having physical sex with Mary, which is what Mormons believe, that's a pretty scary thing. That virgin birth's pretty critical to the Christian faith. Or such verses as, you remember, Tim, in the in the CNN YouTube debate where they held up the Bible, and one of the guys, I don't think, it might have been the only one that wasn't a plant, that held up the Bible and said, do you believe every word of this book? And he says, well, you know, he skirted around it and says, well, I have a different interpretation. Well, one of the important words, in fact, it was my grandfather's very favorite verse. We put it on his gravestone, and it's John 3:16. It's been called the gospel in a nutshell. If there's one verse in the second grade that you learn, it's this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And Mitt Romney didn't point out that he doesn't believe it. That he believes that Jesus wasn't God's only begotten Son, as that gospel states, but he believes he had a kid brother named Lucifer. There's a lot of things that are really at the heart of what Christians believe. These aren't ancillary items. These aren't sort of things on the fringe. These are basic core beliefs that we differ on, and I think it matters. Tim?
Amen, fine. Janet. Thank you. God bless you. Keep up the great work. I really
God bless
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you so much. We've got Ted Pike. We're going to take your calls as we talk about what's pending in Congress, what's pending in politics, and what our role is. 800-347-9829 is the number to dial as we put our faith to action when we return. Turning people of faith into people of victory. You get there by putting your faith to action, doing war on the floor, getting on your knees. Once you've made the calls, we leave it up to God. And thanks be to God, there were some people doing war on the floor, taking up the cause for freedom, and God intervened. Hate crimes, for the time being, is dead. Thank God. Oh, what a great day to be alive in America, where we have the freedom to speak the truth and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ted Pike from the National Prayer Network joins us. Lines are filling up fast. Let's go first to Pennsylvania. We've got Sandra from Hatfield on the line. Hey, Sandra.
Hi, Janet. How are you doing today?
Well, thanks. Very well.
Oh, that's good. Janet, I heard someone ask Mike Huckabee on the television, in a television interview, what he thought of the Mormon religion.
Uh-huh.
And his comment was, I don't know much about the Mormon religion, or I don't know about the Mormon religion. I can't remember his exact words, but I was disappointed in his answer. I wish I would have heard him say, I really don't want to discuss what other people believe, but this is what I believe, or...
That's
really
kind of what, can I tell you, Sandra, I think I know the interview you mean. He was on Glenn Beck, who is incidentally a Mormon. Glenn Beck, he doesn't make that known when he's touting Mitt Romney on his program for the full hour. But when he had Huckabee on, it was just last week for half an hour. He gave the other half an hour to Mitt Romney. But what I heard, and I'll go back and take a look at the transcript, was essentially that rather than comment on what others believe, let me tell you what I believe, and I know what I believe. And he did bring up the consistency issue. But I think they were trying to get him in the trap to speak out against another religion. He says, as a president, that's not my role. I know what I believe. I can tell you what that is, and that my beliefs are consistent. And I think that he did what he needed to do without in any way negating, what you're saying right here. You know, I don't think he did any disservice to the cause of those who want to communicate the differences in religions without being the one who spoke specifically about what they believe, because, quite frankly, that isn't the job of a president.
Right. Well, I don't watch Len Beck, so I'm not sure it was that show.
Okay.
I specifically heard him say that he didn't know about the Mormon religion. And as a former pastor, I would think he would know what the Mormons, where the difference is between Mormonism. And I know he knows that. I just wish he would have addressed, I just wish he would have said, yes, there's major differences in what we believe. But
that's a good point.
You know,
I also
want to ask you a real quick question. Someone was pointing out to me this morning something that's going on in California. This might be old news. I don't know. And I'm not sure the number of the bill, but the last four numbers are the last three numbers are 777, and it's about letting boys go into girls' rooms in California schools and vice versa.
Yeah, we've actually had a guest on talking about that. I don't know where that is right now in the process, but I will say this. The California legislature is the most dangerous state assembly in the country because what they're doing is absolutely beyond imagination, and that is one of the bills that they're looking at.
Well,
saying,
I actually believe that was signed into law by Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
1977
yes.
is law in California, which makes it basically a hate crime for children or teachers to speak disparagingly of homosexuality.
But is Sandra talking specifically about the shared locker rooms, I think?
Oh, uh-huh.
Yes.
That might have been part of the package, come to think of it. That might have been part of the package that he allowed to become law, and there is right now, I understand, a grassroots effort to try to undo that. Tell you what, Sandra, we'll look into that. We'll have somebody else on talking about the status of such an effort and just what's going on there, because we do try to keep an eye on that legislature, because what happens in California spreads like a cancer elsewhere, and that's why a lot of times we get those phones ringing out there, because they have the worst of the worst very often.
Yeah, by the way, the co-sponsor of the federal hate bill, which is Senator Gordon Smith of Oregon, is also a Mormon bishop.
Interesting. Let's go next. But Orrin Hatch is also a Mormon, correct?
Who
stood up against him? So to be fair, we're gonna clarify where everybody is. Let's go next to Wisconsin and Warrens, Wisconsin. We've got Jim on the line. Hey, Jim.
Hi. I'd like to make a statement.
Sure.
And I guess the first time I heard about Mr. Huckabee, I knew he was a man that I had to get behind and support. And when I heard that some of the other Christian leaders in this country were behind people that aren't pro-life or pro-choice, I said, oh boy, what's going on? And their consensus, well, we need a man in there that can get the right judges in. And I say, we vote for who God wants in there, God will take care of the rest.
You know, a lot of people said, I don't like this guy because he can't win. We need someone that can win. That's what it's all about, winning. And they no longer have that argument anymore. That we actually could support somebody if winning matters to you more than the principles. We could actually not sell out on principles and still not sell out on the opportunity for success. Interesting comment, Jim. I appreciate the call. Let's take one final call from South Dakota. We've got Brandon on the line. Very quickly, Brandon, if you can.
Yes. I just wanted to comment that I think with all due respect, you're doing your listeners a disservice by the representation with Mitt Romney, and if I may. Only the reason why is that what he believes is what he believes, just like what I believe is what I believe. I can't prove it, nor can you prove your faith or your tenets, but what you can do is look at the output from their faith, and you look at what they put forth, such as Romney's belief in his family and also with his hard work and lack of, to be quite honest, like any scandal.
I appreciate the call. We're just running out of time. Let me just respond to you and feel free to call in again, Brandon. I do welcome your opinion. I appreciate you calling. But the point of it is that he's the guy, as we just discussed, that stepped in and made sure that marriage was redefined in Massachusetts. So, yeah, faith aside, I think it's enough to say, you know, he's flipped on every major social issue. There's a credibility issue. A lot of people are wondering about that. But I think it's a fair statement to also say, hey, what you believe about God matters too, because that's the source of wisdom. That's the one that's going to give you the strength in office and the guidance you need. Reverend Pike, thank you so much for all you're doing, the National Prayer Network, and keeping us apprised of all that's going on. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Janet.
Now, put your faith into action for life, liberty, and the family. Visit Janet Folger on the web at www.faithtoaction.org. CDs or cassettes are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. Join us Monday through Friday for Faith to Action with Janet Folger to win the cultural war together.